Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we continued our look at the testimony of SLED forensic pathologist Dr. Ellen Reamer, with prosecutor Creighton Waters asking the witness to guide the jury through her analysis of wounds suffered by Maggie Murdoch. In this installment, we conclude our review of Waters' direct examination of Dr. Reamer. That's all coming up right after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It is the late afternoon of February 13th, 2023, day 14 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we ended our last episode, forensic pathologist Dr. Ellen Reamer, under direct examination of prosecutor Creighton Waters, used a diagram of a human torso to guide the jury through the 5 gunshot wounds suffered by Maggie Murdoch. As we begin this installment, prosecutor Waters asks the witness about a number of photos taken during Maggie Murdoch's autopsy. These extremely graphic images are under seal and not visible to the public. Throughout Dr. Reamer's testimony, Alex Murdoch appears to be extremely upset.
All right, Dr. Reamer, I'm going to show you some images. And if you could stand back that way, just so we can, again, try to protect these as much as we can. These, again, are very graphic, is that correct?
Yes.
And do you generally recognize those images?
Yes.
All right, those photos you took of Maggie Murdoch?
Yes, these are photographs that I took of Maggie Murdoch's wounds.
All right, and would those assist you in explaining these injuries to the jury?
Yes.
All right, so this is a photo of her left thigh. Okay, this is the knee area. And we can see this is kind of on the inside area of the front of the left thigh. And we do have the stippling around it, which tells us that it was shot within a certain, like, relatively close range.
And we have the stippling, as you've described. Moving on to States 489. What is this right here?
So you can kind of appreciate this is like the curve of her knees. This is the back of the left thigh where we have an exit wound.
Going on now to States 490. What is this?
Okay, so this is the entrance wound on the right side of the front of the abdomen below the rib cage, close to the midline, and we do have stippling here. It's a little sparser and a little further spread. So that was also close enough, within 3 or so feet, to deposit the stippling, probably a little further back than the one to the left thigh, because there's more tightness of the stippling on the thigh. So if we think of it as kind of going outward, it covers a wider area and is more sparse on the right side of the abdomen.
We go on to the next one. What is this right here?
Okay, so this is the exit wound to the left side of the lower back.
Just very quickly, you mentioned that there's stippling on both the abdomen and the thigh, but there's a little bit of difference in distance between the two. Is that correct?
Yes, a small amount. There's stippling on both, but the wound to the thigh is a more tighter, more closely packed bunch of stippling and doesn't appear as further away from the actual defect. So that was a little bit closer than to the barrel of the gun was a little closer to her body than the one to the right side of the abdomen, but both of them were within 3 feet.
And those were the only two wounds that you observed with stippling of the ones that you've described.
Yes.
All right. Going on now to this next 492. Tell us what this is, if you would, please.
Okay, so this is a wound to the left wrist, and we can see this is her left thumb, so it's kind of right over there, and it's going through the left wrist, exiting on the soft side of her left forearm.
Moving on now to 493. Okay. What is that?
Yes. So there it is. That's the exit wound. So she had the entrance wound to the part of her wrist near her thumb, and it's going through the left forearm area, exiting at an angle, right? You know, it's kind of exiting at an angle because this defect is oblong, right? If it's going straight across, we would just have a hole, right? But if something's exiting in an angle, we have more of an oblong exit.
Moving on to the next one, and again, this is graphic, but
sorry,
tell me what this is, and I'm going to move the picture down as you describe it, please.
Okay. So here's her belly button, just to give you a reference point. And this was that entrance wound on the right side of the abdomen. This is another injury that kind of grazed, kind of abraded the left side of the abdomen before going through her left breast.
Moving down.
Yeah.
Was that sufficient? I can't really see.
Yeah. So it's fine. Okay. This is a very large destructive hole in the left side of her face, including parts of her left ear. And this makes sense to be a continuation of the one through the left breast. I was confident that this was all the result of a single bullet, single fired shot. And what we see over here is basically a bruise from, it didn't actually go into the left shoulder, but as it's coursing upward through the breast before it kind of go, and if she's bent over, then it's going to bruise this clavicle area, right? That's that bone right here. Before going into the left side of her lower face.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Prosecutor Creighton Waters continues his direct examination of Dr. Reamer by asking her to describe the final two photographs from Maggie Murdoch's autopsy. Again, these graphic photos are not visible to the public.
All right, moving on now, and I'm going to go out of order just a bit. I'm at 499.
At the time I did the autopsy, and I have a wound to the left wrist and through the forearm, and a wound that's going along the left side of the abdomen. I can't be certain. I can't say with an absolute certainty that her hand was up against her abdomen at the time that the gunshot wound to her torso was going upward. But if her hand was on her abdomen, which she may have had there after getting shot through the abdomen and bending over, this would be a perfect line through the through the wrist, out the left forearm, and continuing in an upward direction before fatally entering the left side of her head.
Without an explanation for how the wrist and that gunshot could be related?
So I took a photo of the wrist and the scrape along the left side of her abdomen together because it occurred to me, based on my experience over decades, that this may have represented a single inflicted shot. Maybe the one to the wrist was a separate shot. And in my autopsy report, I described it as separate because unless I'm absolutely certain that it's from the same shot, I'm going to describe them separate. But I'm able to tell you, so we have four wounds to the body, and it may, five wounds, but if we count the left wrist as separate, but if the left wrist was connected to the other one, to one of the others, then it's there's only four shots to the body.
And then finally, states 498.
Okay, so this is also a very ugly shot. And this is the back of her head. And is a routine matter. She had hair there, but it wasn't apparent what kind of a wound she had back there. There was blood, but I'll shave, cut away the hair to display the entrance wound. And you can see how long it is. It's long. It's not just a hole going from back to front. It's going in a downward direction like that. And this ammunition breaks up into fragments, and we have like these fragments basically coursing along the top of her back, going through the skin and the fatty tissue beneath in her upper back. So, and this one, before it actually hit the back, it went through the skull at the back, right side of the back of her head, as well as the brain stem and cerebellum.
Thank you, Dr. Reamer. We're almost done. If you could have a seat real quick, and we will conclude the examination.
After Dr. Reamer returns to the witness stand, Creighton Waters resumes his questioning.
Dr. Reamer, you mentioned that there was a slight difference or a difference in the stippling between the abdominal and the thigh wound, and which one had seemed to be a little bit farther away, according to your review of the evidence?
Yes. The gunshot wound to the abdomen was slightly further away than the gunshot wound to the left thigh.
And that could be consistent with Maggie and the shooter changing their positions in relationship to one another.
Yeah, people aren't completely just standing still. It could be that the shooter was moving closer toward her or moving a little bit back at this, or she could have been moving, or a combination of the two. So I don't know what happened there, but I do know that the barrel of the gun was closer at the time it struck her left thigh, because the stippling is more tight concentrically and doesn't cover as wide an area as the one to the right side of the abdomen.
You've described the injuries to the front, and then the injury to the breast and to the head, and then this final injury to the back of the head. Could that be consistent with the shooter circling his victim?
Yeah, I think that it only makes sense if there's some movement on the part of the shooter. We know the gunshot wound to the front of the body that's going up. If Maggie was bent over, either in air or on the ground, the shot would have been fired from behind her, right? From behind her, that's the only way it's going to go up and through the base of the chin area into her head, right? She's bent over. That's the way that it logically makes sense. Nobody's sitting on the floor, and you couldn't do that. And after that shot was sustained, the one that went through the front side, the vertical one, okay, it's vertical through her body, but most likely occurred while she was bent over, or then that's going to be an incapacitating shot because it went through her brain and caused her to fall to the ground. She's bent over. She gets that shot. She's going to fall face down. And then the last shot to the back of her head is going in the other direction. So that's going downward. So we have one going. So that only can occur if the wound to the left side of the front is somebody shooting from behind her. And then the gunshot wound to the back of the head is going downward while she's on the ground, indicating somebody's standing at the top of her.
Was there a lot of blood accumulated in Maggie's abdomen?
Not that much. The thing about these wounds is there's so much tissue destruction that blood is just basically in all the tissues. So it's not like sometimes with a small caliber bullet, there's a single clearly defined wound path, and I can take out blood from the abdomen. But in this case, there was so much tissue destruction. There was a lot of blood in the soft tissues, but not necessarily something I can scoop out and measure.
Did the lack of a lot of blood, though, in the abdomen tell you anything about how rapidly these all occurred together?
So if the wound stopped there to the abdomen and somebody walked away, you know, she would have had more bleeding out of those tissues into the abdominal cavity.
In both Maggie and Paul, did you make any observations about their stomach contents?
Yes. So part of the autopsy, I'm not just looking at the wounds. I'm examining all of the internal organs. And this is how I knew it went through the pancreas and the kidney, because remember, I'm not just looking outside of the body. I have to do everything, look at all of the internal organs and dissect each one. When examining the stomach, I will document the contents of the stomach, and they each had a lot of recently digested food fragments. So, you know, they had a full stomach of food.
Were those stomach contents consistent with one another?
Yeah, they looked identical to each other. They were kind of gray tan, you know, couldn't tell exactly what it was, but it may have included meat. I didn't see any corn or, you know, green beans or anything like that. But whatever it was, they were identical to each other. And I believe she had 600 mLs, which is it's 450 mLs is a pound. So it's like almost 1.5 pounds of food. And he had 500 mLs, which is a little bit more than a pound. But they looked similar, like they may have shared a meal together.
You testified that there was no defensive wounds on Paul. Did you observe any defensive wounds on Maggie?
No, nothing that would indicate any kind of a defensive wound.
Did you observe any damage to her fingernails or anything that indicated that she had been in a fight with her attacker?
No. That's also part of the autopsy. In addition to collecting clippings from the fingernails, I look carefully to see sometimes there's a fingernail broken, sometimes there's obvious tissue or blood underneath fingernails, and she didn't have any evidence of, material visually evident underneath her fingernails.
What about her toxicology? Did she have anything in her system, any drugs or alcohol?
She had caffeine only, the same as Paul, and no other alcohol, no alcohol or other drugs other than caffeine.
Dr. Reamer, in your professional expert opinion, what was the cause of death to a reasonable degree of medical certainty for Paul Murdoch?
For Paul Murdoch, I said shotgun wounds to head and chest. Shotgun wounds of head and chest.
And what was the manner of death?
Manner of death is homicide, which means death at the hands of another.
To conclude his direct examination, Creighton Waters asks Dr. Reamer to tell the jury her conclusions regarding the cause and manner of the deaths of both victims.
And Dr. Reamer, in your expert opinion, what was, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, the cause of death for Maggie Murdoch?
Maggie Murdoch died of multiple gunshot wounds.
And what was the manner of death?
Manner of death is homicide, death at the hands of another.
Death at the hands of another. One final question. Did you recover any fragments from Maggie Murdoch during your autopsy?
Yes. So this kind of ammunition breaks up into fragments. That's the nature of that ammunition, and so I recovered multiple fragments of projectiles.
Creighton Waters shows the witness a small plastic evidence bag.
I'm going to show you what's been admitted into evidence as States 112, and do you recognize that?
Yes, so those are fragments I've recovered from Maggie's autopsy.
Thank you, Dr. Reamer. Nothing further, Your Honor.
With that, Creighton Waters concludes his direct examination of Dr. Alan Reamer. Given the late afternoon hour, defense attorney Dick Harpootlian asks Judge Clifton Newman for permission to begin his questioning of the witness the following morning. Judge Newman agrees and gavels day 14 of the trial of Alex Murdoch to a close. With that, we conclude this episode of Jury Duty. Please join us on our next installment as we begin our review of the cross-examination of forensic pathologist Alan Reamer. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And, if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page. You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie and Tholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law and Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.